This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Michael Gongor is best known for his work with the musical collective Gongor, who have received several Grammy nominations. Now, while it's hard to pin their music down to any one genre, it's been called alternative, folk, and experimental. Michael Gongor is also the author of the book The Crowd, The Critic, and The Muse, a book for creators. And that's what we're going to talk about today. He's on the line from Nashville, I believe, in the United States. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how's it going?
Not too bad. Let's go right back to the beginning. I understand you grew up in a fairly fundamentalist church environment. What impact did that have on your creativity?
In the upbringing that I had, I was brought up with a lot of boundaries on what was appropriate to create, and it had to be very functional within the confines of my sort of tradition and religious world. And as I grew and as I began to travel and see the world outside of my own little hometown, you know, I think the world got bigger and started realizing over the years that maybe God was bigger than some of the confines that I had limited him to. And maybe, you know, maybe everything that's beautiful kind of belongs to him. If he's the source of beauty and the source of all that is good, maybe anything that is good and beautiful and true in some way speaks of and reflects God. And
it sounds like you're moving from being brought up to believe that you should create things only for maybe a specific purpose to think more broadly about the creative process as being something spiritual.
Yeah, it's creating itself as kind of central to even what it means to be a human being is, you know, I love in the Genesis account when it talks about man being made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. And some of what you see the early humans tasked to do is, you know, kind of take care of the garden, name the animals. And it's basically, it's kind of bringing order into creation. You know, it's reimagining and kind of shaping the earth. And so that's like a central job. It's what it means to be human and what we've done with the world, what we all do with our world, whether with art or with our work, whether you're a mom taking care of her kids, an accountant crunching numbers, we're all just ordering the creation around us.
Yeah. Now, in the beginning of your book, you talk about coming out of a place of burnout. What did you learn from that?
I find that when I'm kind of running low on creative fodder, when I'm having a hard time coming up with stuff, a lot of times, you know, I think there's a tendency sometimes when you have work to do, there's stuff to be done, especially if it's creative at all, to try to force something or almost like scraping it out of their soul rather than having it be an overflow and of kind of the abundance of the soul. So I've found that for me when I'm burning out, a lot of times is tied to output versus input on some level. And that can be anything from creatively to just personally. I'm kind of an introvert by nature. And if I don't find a good balance of life, of enough stuff coming in, you know, you got to breathe in as much as you breathe out, and otherwise you'll die. So finding ways of feeling like I'm inhaling, and that whatever that is, you know, I'm reading good books, I'm having good conversations, I'm having enough solitude, just it really comes down to rhythm of life to me. And you have to be breathing in as much as you're breathing out, otherwise yeah, you burn out.
And so what are some of the other more common barriers to creativity?
I think fear is a big one because fear tells us all sorts of stuff. The book, you know, called The Crowd, The Critic, and The Muse, all those, the crowd and the critic, both external and internal critics, can kind of shut us down. And we have these things that we dream of, things we love to make, things we love to do. Anytime that anything worthwhile happens in the world, there's always going to be some resistance. And if you really do something good or beautiful or novel, you're definitely going to have people that oppose it. You know, anything that happens that makes waves is waving, is rocking somebody's boat on some level. So fear kind of makes you want to just stay in a safe zone, in a predetermined zone within the confines of what your tribe or whatever's around you finds, you know, acceptable. And that makes for safety, but it kind of makes for bland work and bland art. Faith, or, you know, like religion, can tend to capitalize on fear because it can be a good motivator to get people to fall into line with what you want them to do. So And that's an unhealthy religion, I think, when religion really capitalizes on fear and trying to make people feel on the negative emotions, on guilt and oppression and fear, to try to get them to fall into place, rather than what I see in the early followers of Jesus and through history, followers of Jesus that did amazing things. They're often the ones that walked against the fear, and often the culture and the world were terrified of them and hated them and killed them, including Jesus himself, and because they didn't fall into line. Christianity has always been, historically, you know, especially in the early days, it was counter-cultural. It was like this, it was a revolution. And so I do think that there's something within the modern expression of religion that can tend to go that way for sure. And you see that in a lot of religious culture and religious art, I think, is kind of a safety and a blandness and a fear. And I know as a person that has written songs for people to sing in church and stuff at times, I know that there is a machine that really wants to have you stay in a place. And if you ever kind of veer at all, there's pushback for sure. Yes. But again, it's also a human thing, so I'm sure it's everywhere at some level.
Yeah. In your latest blog post, you wrote, "Faith is not something to be reduced to a set of propositions that we all agree about, but rather a surrender." I thought that was a really beautiful and poignant quote. What roles do faith and doubt play in the creative process?
Yeah, doubt is one of those things, especially, I don't know how it is in Australia, but in the United States, especially in the more conservative, fundamentalist, evangelical world, there's kind of this, and I think this is a very modern phenomenon, but this need for certitude. It's like faith has become less something other than faith and trust and hope and belief and surrender. It's become almost like the scientific method, where you need to know these things that are true, and you need to mentally assent to that, and that is what makes you on the right team, and that's what makes you acceptable to God, and that's what gives you grace, if you just make sure that you know all the right things.
That you have certainty.
And yeah, and that's not faith. That's like, there is no faith without doubt, because faith is trusting. None of this might be true, but I'm going to have faith. I'm going to choose to believe, and my faith is by how I live. It's a wager. It's a wager of my life. Like, what am I gonna bet? Am I gonna bet that God is love, or am I gonna bet that it's all meaningless and doesn't matter what I do, and I'm just gonna do whatever I feel like in the moment? I'm gonna think, you know, and everybody has to make those sorts of decisions. And I think that's what faith comes down to. You know, doubt can help purify faith, because rigid, like, fundamentalist certitude turns into authoritarian, which can do lots of bad things in the world. You know, I mean, it's that same, all the crusades and the witch hunts and...
Well, even what we're seeing now with Islamic fundamentalism, I suppose, right? We've just seen a guy get his head chopped off because of that.
Exactly. Because, these ideas somehow become an authority and a certitude that you can justify any sort of violence with your certainty that you're in the right position. And that's what causes so much violence and evil in the world. If there was a healthy amount of doubt with some of those people that are chopping heads off, is this really in the spirit of the faith that we think we're holding to? Like, doubt helps you ask those questions. It keeps you in line.
Mm. We've talked a little bit about not listening too much to the voices of the crowd or the critic in terms of what determines your art. At the same time, though, you know, where people like you bravely go off in different directions, you do cop a lot of criticism. So how do you make sure that you're robust enough to deal with that criticism when it does come?
Yeah, I'm particularly, I don't know how much it's spread in Australia, but the social media this last week for us went crazy. I don't know, there was some American online magazine that took some things that I had written years ago about how I read Genesis more metaphorically, and kind of used it to say, Gunger doesn't believe the Bible anymore, and Gunger doesn't, so kind of turned into this crazy online frenzy over here. And so, yes, I'm kind of in the middle of a lot of criticism even right now, and it's hard. You know, you really have to find out how to, sorry if it's a little cheesy, but to build your house on something other than the sand, you know what I mean? Like, you have to find a way of anchoring your life. And I do have a little bit of a personality where I can kind of laugh at some of it and just enjoy the silliness of everything. But I can't say that no part of it ever stings, or that I, you know, of course I want people to like me. You know, I want to, but I also know that if I'm going to believe something is true, or if I'm going to believe in good and try to live my life in a direction like that and not just be washed up by whatever is the loudest voice in my head telling me to sway this way or that, that there is, I just have to prepare myself. Like, if I want to call myself a Jesus follower, I'm following a guy that eventually got executed, and all of his closest followers got executed. So I just got to know that if I'm going to try to say things that are true and beautiful and good, there's always going to be pushback. And so trying to, like, not, I guess it's just a daily kind of letting go, almost, like a surrender of what am I going to base my heart and my life in today? Is it going to be, am I going to go search online for my name and try to please the people that don't like me? Or am I going to just do what I do and be who I am and be okay with that? And yeah. It's just a decision, you know?
Okay. Well, thank you. I've been speaking with Michael Gunga. We've been talking about his book, The Crowd, The Critic and The Muse, A Book for Creators. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Michael.
Yeah, thanks.
And now let's hear some of his music. This is I Am Mountain on Hope 103.2.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.